These three gentlemen take mental well-being seriously, but are not serious. They'd rather swear and make irreverent jokes. Now that you know, the Healy may commence.
Hello and welcome to another episode of We're Probably Not Okay, the podcast that makes fun of mental well-being. I'm your host for this episode, the consciousness of Brandon Full uploaded into a state-of-the-art Hewlett-Packard. But who travels this electronic highway with me? Why, it's none other than...
your very best chosen one, Ryan Brown. I was trying to go for a Matrix thing. I guess it didn't work out.
And I'm the man kissed by all robots, David Musgrave.
All of them?
Every single one that's ever existed or ever will. It's, my God. Guys, it hurts.
Hot as shit.
No, it hurts a lot. It's.
Well, because yeah. What do you classify as a robot? Like, is a toaster a robot?
Roomba, toaster, Robin Williams in that one movie. All of them.
Yeah.
Bicentennial Man.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park.
I think we saw that together, Brandon.
Bicentennial Man?
I think so.
I don't think so, because I have never seen Bicentennial Man.
We saw some movie about robots together. Maybe it was AI.
I was going to ask if you weeped in each other's arms during Bicentennial Man.
We saw. No, I was too just. We did see that, yes. And there are a fair amount of robots in that. And no, I didn't cry during Bicentennial Man because I was too distracted by the boom mic being in every shot.
That was just a robot penis. Really a boom mic?
No, it really was. And I kept being like, what the fuck is that?
I'm trying to make – never mind. I'm not going to do it.
Who's Mike?
Mike is one of the robots, you see.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So what do we do first on this podcast, boys? We do
nothing.
We make some robot penis jokes.
Yeah, we make
what are you doing? Penis
jokes. We make vague Goonie references, which I've just done. And then we do our mental health wellness being check-in brain.
Hold on. Don't we
extravaganza.
Wait. Before we do that, don't we usually talk about drinking pee or something like that?
No,
I don't know what you're talking about.
All the time.
We actually have not talked about Salvatore in a long, long time. So that's
not why. For a hot minute, have we?
He's still there. So if you're joining us new as a new listener, Salvatore is a character in a lot of ways, but he's a man who drinks pee. Really is where what it comes down to first and foremost is he loves pee.
And that's what makes him a character in my book.
Yeah. Comes on the podcast sometimes, but not as frequently anymore because he's just out traveling the world like that old Fraggle.
And we got some letters.
Traveling Matt.
He's just experiencing the world and writing his letters about peas from all over the world.
He's like, wow. Dear nephew Gobo, boy, what I tried today, buddy. Let me tell you. I thought it was as weird as it was going to get. I was wrong.
I mean, Fritz, you don't think the cheese affects anything? I'm here to tell you.
They got too many grapes in their diet.
Oh, I'm glad we brought him back.
There you go.
I've missed Salvatore. All of our fans
clamoring for more Salvatore content.
That's what got us over in Germany, I think.
Oh, yeah. I never thought about that.
plover8 at gmail.com. There you go. That one's for you. So who wants to tell us how they've been first?
Right.
David does.
Oh, dang it. Too late. Beat me to it. I went too late. Slow. Okay.
You're trying to be too seductive.
I've been better. I don't know. Have we talked on this show about the fact that I like basically told my boss that he can take my position and shoop? Oh, look, my hand's moving really fast.
Hold on. Wait, stop. I need you to explain exactly what that is.
What this is?
Yeah.
Well, this is
I want you to explain it clearly.
This is my position.
Slowly.
This is my position.
With making eye contact.
This is my position. Mm-hmm. This is my boss.
Sure.
So he could take my position and we're going to get
inserted inside.
I think we're going to get like kicked off of YouTube if we show that.
Yeah, Jeff
Bezos. No, surely not. Like we can. We can't show it.
I'll blur
it. We'll just blur it out. We'll put a rubber duck there.
You said it with kind of a question mark. We can't show it.
Right. It's kind of one of those things where I'm just going to say that to see how you guys feel about it.
Huh?
Like, you know, I'm going to say it kind of jokingly and then see what the reaction is. And
Read the room and give yourself an out if you need it. I understand. Yeah. I understand. Yeah,
I think we've all been there.
unless.
But I basically told my, you know, that it's been thankless and terrible and that I don't want to do it anymore. And guys, did you know you could do that? You can.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that.
You can do it. And sometimes they don't fire you. And this is one of those times. So
you didn't get fired?
No, I did not, thankfully.
Or quit.
Not yet. I'm closer to that every single day, though, because here's the thing. The whole point was to find me a different position that would be less stressful. So they've done so. Mm-hmm. So now I'm in this transition period where basically I have all the responsibilities of learning my new role and all of the responsibilities of my old job. So now I'm just pissing off two groups of people.
Yeah.
That sounds terrible, actually.
It would be if I had fucks left to give. The one good thing about being in transition is like, I told you I didn't want to do that shit anymore. So now I'm trying to go do this other stuff, but I don't have time because you still are making me do the stuff that I don't want to do. So you don't get much of anything. You just get like me scrambling to try to get it all done. But I stopped doing that as well. And I basically told my other boss, I was like, dude, like, this is stupid. Like, what are we doing here? So, but the good news is, well, hopefully the good news is I had an interview at a new locale that I really, 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 the location is good. So it'll be a better commute. The company, it seems a ton better. One of my old colleagues works there and she says, this is the first place I've ever been valued at. So like lots of good things. And the position would be kind of similar to what I was doing before, from like a workforce standpoint. So it's something I'm good at and can do. And if they actually value me and don't just treat me like shit and then blame me when things don't go the way they want them to, even though I told them they weren't going to months in advance, then it should be a good thing overall. I passed the first interview. I should be getting moved on to the second phase. I just haven't heard when I'm going to get that interview, but she said, give her until, tomorrow. And if I don't hear from her, I'm going to email her and see what's up and hopefully. If not that, it's going to be something else because I just, as the saga continues, that you've heard, I think, was I working in the mortgage place still when we started this podcast and then I went back to this job? Do you guys remember? I don't remember.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, then
I do remember that.
You were working at this job. You left this job, went to the mortgage place.
Yeah.
Left the mortgage place, came back to this job all within the time we've been recording.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's crazy. We've been doing this podcast for a long time.
You were like at the tail end of being at your job you left to go to the mortgage place though.
Wow. You're welcome, internet. I didn't realize we were bringing you such pleasure for so long.
I know.
Well, but that's the big
true, man.
That's the big news for now. Just I started my new position. I'm also a global what do they call it? She keeps changing the name, but basically I'm like a global or an international real estate consultant.
Man of mystery.
Yes, man of mystery for Portugal. I'll be servicing the Porto, Lisbon and the Algarve regions, basically helping people find properties and relocate to Portugal. So that's something I'm passionate about and want to do myself. So, and it could be the thing that makes it possible for me. So I'll definitely update you guys. I just started yesterday, so just getting kind of my feet wet there, and I'll tell you guys more about that in the future, hopefully. Ryan?
Hell yeah.
How are you?
Jury's kind of out about how I am. I've just been really exhausted and stressed and not super attached to life. And, I'm just really kind of burnt out and on edge right now. And it's been a wildly unpleasant experience for me lately.
What's been burning out, man? I know we talk a lot in the chat, all of us.
We do.
On and off. And I know that you've been having, not a great time for a little bit now.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know. I just can't seem to catch a break ever. With regards to literally anything, it seems. Work has been, I don't want to say it hasn't been bad, but there's just been some recent developments that have been just super frustrating and exhausting. We were going through a really difficult period, and then things started sort of like, cooled off a little bit, and now they're becoming difficult again. And it's just, I don't know. I need there to be some part of my life that is cool and chill and under control and not actively stressful for me. So what about if I could have one of those,
yeah,
that would be gangster as fuck.
You got us, buddy. We won't put any.
That's true, but we don't record every night. No,
we can. Yeah. You want to start?
No, I don't think we can.
You want to live? We can start live streaming every night. We can,
because then it will become that.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry to hear, man. That is frustrating, and I have gone through some very, very ups and downs with some pretty big downs in the past, couple months. Mm-hmm. And I've been asking myself, I'm wondering, is it everything that's happening to you, or is it the fact that, I was going to say your age, but maybe just the fact that you've just had to go through it so many times. It's not anything that's worse than you've ever gone through in your life, right? Does it feel worse?
No.
Okay.
No, and it's not that. That's the thing, is because I thought about that before, where I've clearly been through worse, but it's more this the weight of the fact that in a couple of weeks I'm going to be 40, and it's never gotten better. It's only gotten less worse. You know what I mean? And that's very taxing to think about, to think like, well, I've been doing this for 40 years and I've been doing it on my own since I was about 18, and it's never gotten better. It's just only ever gotten different, worse. And, you sit there and you think about it and you're like, is it ever going to? It's very I don't know, exhausting.
It is exhausting, and I understand that, because I mean, especially before we did the podcast, I was going through a lot of changes. I got divorced twice.
It's uneven.
Finally, felt like I got my act together as far as being with the woman that I should have been with my entire life, and now the only frustrating thing in my life, I've started a family, which I wish I would have started years and years and years ago. But I try not to regret that, because I have it now. So I'm focusing on changing the other things that make me unhappy. My job, where I live. We do only have this one life, as far as we know. And so I'm going to spend the rest of it in a beautiful place in the world, if I can, with people that I love and doing something that I like. And I no longer care so much about having a ton of money or anything, as long as we're comfortable and safe, you know, those are the things that are important to me. So I'm really trying to change my perspective, and I'm going to work hard. I was telling Kira today, I'm tired of not wanting to work hard because, you know, I feel bad about what I'm doing. So I want to find things that I can work hard in. And so right now it's finding another job, another day job. It's working at the Buzz and helping my friend out as much as possible at the bar. And it's doing this A&R, global real estate thing, and all of these things combined. I'm going to be working a ton. But even doing the podcast and stuff, while it's fun, it's like, that's another night where I'm like, I'm dedicating hours of my life to it, but I want to embrace all of that. And I want to get into like a good routine with it and just throw myself into trying to better my life in ways that will make me happy in the end. And I say all of this just because it's taken me a long time to get out of kind of some funks and realize, well, there are things I can control and things that I will do. What would you change if you could?
Well, basically everything.
Okay.
But I can't, is the problem, because changing things requires money, and I don't have any of that. And that's kind of the thing, you know, that's really the issue, is I have to spend so much of, and I know that this isn't a unique experience to me, obviously, this is pretty much everybody in this dog shit country right now, is like, we have to spend so much time trying to survive that we never really get to self-actualize, mm-hmm. or, mm-hmm. you know, or really, most of the time anyway, really get to like work on ourselves or create or do anything, because the entirety of our energy and awareness and effort is eaten up with just trying to make it to tomorrow. And that's kind of where I am too, where it's like, I just got to get to tomorrow, and then I'll have that thought. And then immediately after that thought, it's like, yeah, but why? Because when you get there, you're just going to try and get to the next day.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Right. Well, that is part of what I've been trying to do too, because I mean, there's so many times where I just wish away a day because it's like, this is a work day. I don't want to be doing this. I'm not doing what I want to be doing. I just wish this mm-hmm. was over. And you do that 5 days a week, and sometimes more if you're working, you know, more than just 5 days a week, which I often do. And so the next thing you know, it's like, oh, I lived this week for one day. And even that, I didn't mm-hmm. do everything I wanted to do or would have liked to have done in that day. And so the next thing you know, it's like, oh, well, then a month goes by. It's like, dang, it's already halfway through April. Are you kidding me? And then the next thing you know, half a year, then it's freaking Christmas again, and then we do it all over again. So that's what I'm trying to break. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to break the cycle of. And I have not, to be clear, made a ton of progress in this, because it's still very easy to be like, fuck, I don't want to go to work, or fuck, I don't want to go help my buddy out tonight, or fuck, like I'm taking on this new thing, and I really just want to go lay down and watch TV instead of like work on this new enterprise that I'm doing. So I say all of that, that I'm trying to get into that mentality of like, hey, even though I don't have the energy, hey, even though like this sucks to take on more, how can I at least do it in a way that I know that it's to better tomorrow? And therefore, can I live in the moment? Even the shitty stuff, like my current job, can I live in that moment a little bit better? Knowing that I'm working hard for something. And I think that's maybe what it is like the working hard for something. It sounds like you're kind of lacking that, because that's the only thing that's really kind of keeping me motivated. But I mean, other than obviously taking care of our loved ones, you know, we're obviously that we're not talking about that. That is obviously everyone's key motivation, taking care of ourselves and our loved ones, like just survive. But beyond that, sorry, go ahead. What were you going to say?
And it's pretty frustrating too, because I enjoy what I do. I get to help people for a living, and that's pretty satisfying. But then it'll be like, oh, you helped this individual or you did this thing or you saved this person's life. And then you'll get some shithead who wears a suit for a living who's like, oh, but you did it wrong. So now we're going to have to write you up, you know, stuff like that, where it's like, oh, my God, you're just you're just mad because you can't make money off of this. And as someone who is as staunchly anti-capitalist as I am, that's like double frustrating, because it's like you helped someone, but you did it in a way that wasn't super profitable. So it doesn't count.
Yeah.
Ew.
So you don't work for a nonprofit, obviously. Have you looked into nonprofits to see if there's...
Yeah, nobody is going to pay me as much as I make where I am.
Yeah.
And again, it's kind of, that's the kind of circles back, or it's the snake eating its own tail, because like I have to make the maximum amount of money in order to survive, but I can't make less because the amount I'm making now is still not enough to get by. So making less isn't an option, you know? So it's like, I don't know. It's just,
well, I do know,
frustrating and never ending, you know?
I do know, because again, that's one of my quandaries right now, is I've thought about taking jobs at far less money than I'm making right. Not that I'm making a ton of money, I'm totally not, but I'm comfortable.
Yeah,
enough. Still scared shitless every day about money, but it's not like I have been in the past. But I've been thinking about getting myself back into the situation where I would probably be like really, really scared, like I was in the past, just because my quality of life is so low right now. But I know what that would mean is that I'd be working in other areas even more. So I would just be working like, you know, all day, every day. So I'm trying to like find that balance between those two things. And that's really hard to do. Cause like you said, we already at the end of the day, we don't have much left in the old tank. So, I'm sorry that you have to put up with that and that's the world we live in. And, you know, I don't have an answer. I just wanted to kind of ask some questions. So,
Well, what about you, Brandon?
I'll make it short and sweet as per usual. I try to, I've been,
what are you trying to say about us?
No. I'm just saying, cause I'm the host. I'm trying to end and get into my stuff. I've got something very exciting. I'm going to preface it now. I have something very exciting for the end of this episode.
Ooh.
So, stay tuned. I've got a little game for us.
Ooh, I like it. Right.
Ooh. But yeah, I've been okay. Like, again, it's just the nature of bipolar. I mean, you know, sometimes I'm all right. My baseline is okay. And that's pretty much where I stay. I'm not anywhere like, yeah, this is awesome. Very much at all. And I kind of shuffle between okay and very, very depressed. But at the same time, I'm more okay than very, very depressed, which, as my therapist has told me, is all we can really hope for sometimes. You know, not saying that that's all I can ever hope for, but that if I'm okay more than I am sad, then that is a plus. So,
okay.
I'm doing that.
Work is weird. I can't remember. I think I mentioned last time that they cut my hours.
I think
I've been dealing with that. My hours have been shit. My paychecks have been next to nothing compared. I mean, my paychecks were like, I'm getting a fifth of what I was getting before with the hours that I'm cut to.
Dang, dude.
My paychecks are awful. I happened to get my income taxes right before this happened, and I got like a couple grand. So I've been living off of that with paying my rent and stuff, and then using my paychecks as like supplemental groceries for that.
Right.
You know, that's going to last me 3 more months. I think I've calculated 3 more months. If I just live off of that. So I've got 3 months to find a full-time job that's going to pay me equal to or more than I make right now, which is pretty stressful, because when you go in for a job interview, I'm already an anxious person. And then to have to go in and in the back of my mind be like, I got to fucking nail this, or I'm not going to have, you know, groceries in a month from now. And obviously I have enough friends and family that I know I will never go without groceries.
Correct.
Anything like that. But it's, I don't know. Money's, like Ryan said, money's tight for everybody.
Money it sucks.
Yes. But I do have something to read to you guys.
It sucks butt.
It sucks butts.
Big old booty. Read it to us.
Someday a human being named perhaps Fred White may shoot a robot named Pete something or other, which has come out of a General Electric factory and to his surprise, see it weep and bleed. And the dying robot may shoot back and, to its surprise, see a wisp of gray smoke arise from the electric pump that it supposed was Mr. White's beating heart. It would be rather a great moment of truth for both of them. That's a Philip K. Dick quote, because we are going to be talking about the future. I figured because we did an episode on nostalgia, we did an episode on the things we're enjoying presently, I wanted to do an episode on the future. And I really struggled with this topic. I kind of picked the idea of the topic before I knew what I wanted to do with it. So I did a little bit of reading on transhumanism. Are you guys familiar with transhumanism?
A little bit, yeah. Just basically, so like, oh, go ahead.
Oh no, what's your understanding of it?
The notion of like humans transcending like their physical limitations,
mm-hmm. augmenting ourselves somehow or becoming something different.
Yes, around enhancing human capabilities via body augmentation and AI. So they're striving to, you know, like Ryan said, again, transcend beyond what we are now and become something more than humans are, you know, become transhuman. So my question, my first question for you guys is, would you allow yourself to be augmented with hardware?
Yes.
And I'm talking like future hardware, not like, you know, a pacemaker or something that's actual hardware used today. You would?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, as long as it was like a proven science, like it was something that people are like doing. Like a
laser eye or spring feet like Inspector Gadget.
Hell yes. What I have written down. I was actually hoping that I could get a propeller to come out of my head and I could just be like.
I would. I would only insofar as like it was something that was a requirement, like you said, like a pacemaker or, you know, a prosthetic of some kind. I don't think I would want any kind of, like I wouldn't want like a brain chip that connects me to the internet or something. Mm. You know what I mean? If only because like, you know, some shithead out there is going to find a way to hack it and like play never going to give you up on a loop in your brain until you go fucking insane.
It's so you blow the chip out of your brain. Yeah. And I guess when I said yes so quickly, the first thing that popped into my head was
penis augmentation.
Obviously. Like, yeah. Just like.
Yeah. You want a transformer down there.
Yeah. I want to be able to pick up objects off the ground that I drop with it, you know, like.
Yeah, it's like a claw machine. It's like,
I wanted to cup one part of it and use it like a claw machine. Yeah.
Absolutely. Hands down.
Oh, you can pick up teddy bears with it.
Oh, look, I got a keychain. No, I was thinking my eyeballs is what I was thinking. I would love to be able to just wake up and see and like have like really, really good vision, like be able to see stuff real far away. That sounds dope.
Like eagle vision?
Yeah, eagle vision.
So let me ask you this then, Ryan. I thought about this specifically for you with what we've talked about. Would you allow some sort of augmentation that would perhaps like level out the things in your brain? Like I know that one of the things that you've talked about is your depression. I can't remember what your diagnosis is, but I know it's something depression-wise.
Yeah, it's... major depressive disorder and obsessive compulsive disorder, you know, maybe. I mean, because basically, like, what is that if not just some sort of advanced prosthesis? You know, it's something that you put on you to correct something. You know, it'd be like wearing corrective shoes, but for your brain, you know?
Yeah, there'd be nothing wrong with it.
If that was indeed, like, the case, like, if it was a matter of... we're going to put this synthetic gland in your brain that secretes the chemicals that you're, you know, deficient in, and it's going to allow you to feel happiness or shunt aside certain unpleasant feelings that you couldn't otherwise. And then, okay, sure, because that's little to no different than just getting like a knee replacement or something. Yeah. But if it was something where it's like I was saying, like it connects you to the internet and then you have to pay a subscription. Cause I mean, this is where my fucking brain goes. It's like, that's probably what it'll be like, is you'll have to pay a subscription fee and to like get, you know, downloaded happy thoughts into your brain. And then when you, you don't pay, like happiness is going to be behind a paywall or something, not to be all, you know, Blade Runner about it or something.
It's already kind of behind a paywall, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Depends on your definition.
But I mean, literally.
So yeah. Go back and listen to my previous podcast. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. So you guys would both do some sort of augmentation. What about laser eyes, Ryan? Would you just like.
No, I don't think so.
Cyclops style.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I would.
Augmentation?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Just being real. Maybe.
What augmentation?
I'd be into that.
On that one.
Strength.
Oh, strength?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, yeah, I would. Let's be real.
Or something that would reverse or slow aging.
Definitely.
That would be fine.
Definitely that. Definitely that. All I got to say is call me Claw Machine.
I'm getting that bumblebee dick. Let's talk AI, specifically as it pertains to art and music. Now, we've got a couple things we're going to touch on here. So let's not like dwell super on this because I've got a few more topics. AI, as far as it pertains to art, we use AI art for our things. Oh, we don't?
I hand draw every one of them.
David hand draws those with the help of.
Well, with the help of my keyboard and just some descriptive prompts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that? Because I am of kind of two minds now. Like at first I was all about the AI stuff, but then the more I see of my artist friends talking about it, the more I'm like,
see,
I become more torn.
See, I actually went the other way. At first I was like, oh God, this is the end of everything. And like, yeah, and I do believe that, you know, still to this day that it's going to have some pretty rough ramifications for a lot of professions and people. But I don't think it can ever replace the true essence of a person's art. So I don't think that's ever going away. But when I first was like, nah, you know, I don't like it. I don't want to use it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I kind of then started using it, in particular for, you know, making things for our podcast. And it's so much easier and quicker than like Googling a picture of something and then, you know, editing it. And it's so much easier to be like, hey, I've got this idea. Oh, and you can never find what you want either. So it's so much easier to be like, you know, I want a picture of David Bowie slapping a cat on the ass, you know, and then you have it.
Don't we all?
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't want a picture of that? But I definitely Kaiser Soza'd that by looking around the room and saw my Tumblr with David Bowie on it. And then I thought I heard the cat meow in the background. So that's where that came from. If you're wondering, I'm not a weird person. I am a weird person, but not in that way. So I've kind of come around to it in the fact that we use it to very quickly just make some funny art for this little hobby of ours. Now, if this was like a professional production and, you know, we actually made money off of this, then I would hire an artist to do that for us. I would not use AI if it was something that I was using it. I wouldn't make money off of AI, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's where I stand too, as far as it goes, that if we were pulling in enough money to pay ourselves, even to make any sort of money whatsoever, and had extra to pay an artist, even a small artist, 100% be down with that, with using Patreon funds or whatever to pay an artist to do little things for us.
Mm-hmm.
But as it stands, we don't bring in money that way. And like you said,
this we bring in a little bit that doesn't cover the cost of our podcast server.
I don't want to downplay the Patreon, the people we pay for are on our Patreon. I forgot that we do have people on our Patreon, so thank you.
We should say their names sometime.
Who is it? Who are our patrons?
J-Mac, whose real name is...
J-Mac?
Yeah.
Jason McElvey.
Jason McElvey. His name is Jason McDonald or something. I'm sorry, J-Mac. I don't think you listen to the podcast, but if you do...
I don't think he does either.
I'm sorry.
He subscribes exclusively for Pokemon.
Yeah, that's true. Who doesn't? Smorf, baby. And then
that's
it's
what we do.
It's Chad Good, right?
Yeah.
Is our other.
Okay.
So thank you to J Mac and Chad Good right in the middle of the podcast with your little Patreon.
Thanks, you two.
Ryan.
You too can get thanked on our podcast and heard by hundreds of Germans.
Do svidaniya.
That's Russian.
Oh, you got me. Ryan, AI art, thumbs up, thumbs down. What do you
think? I am opposed to AI doing creative things in general, as far as they're like, for example, the when the writers went on strike last year, like that was one of the things that they were striking for, was to not use AI in like generating scripts, because they were already looking for studios were already looking for ways to do that and like completely cut writers out of the equation. And I'm not like, we use it for goofs. Like you could even argue, like when we use like the generative text to create a horror story starring us, one of the things that we are doing when we do so is to point out how silly this is.
Yeah.
So, but as far as like using it to create art, you can, the thing is too, and this is interesting, you can always tell, like whenever you look at a piece of art, you can always tell when it's AI art.
Oh, yeah.
Always. And I think there's something to be said as far as that goes, like kind of to echo or expand on the sentiment that David said, where AI art doesn't have the same soul to it. Like it wasn't created, it was produced. Yeah. You know, like there wasn't a person's creativity that went into this. This was just something that was created out of, or produced out of, like the ether mathematically. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
is a level of creativity too, as far as what you're feeding into the AI to get what you want. Is there talent there as far as an artist goes? No, I don't think so.
No, it's almost but like I being
think talent there as far as like, I don't know. It's a tough one.
It's almost like being good at SEO or something though, right? It's just like knowing what to say.
I was going to say, it's kind of like when you play like a fighting video game, like Street Fighter or something, versus like actually knowing and being good at martial arts.
Yeah.
Like you're doing the same thing, except for you're not. So there's a difference.
Just straight Hadouken.
Yeah, exactly. Like you're not, it's not the same thing. Like you're just pushing buttons. And like you were saying, like that would require some skill, but it's a skill that's producing like a synthetic result.
That's what I was going to say.
Based on like,
I was going to actually say that I think that maybe people that play fighting games have more skill than the using AI properly to create content that is usable.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it's not a one for one.
No, yeah. But actually you sold me on it a little bit more with those last couple of sentences. You kind of brought it back because you're right. There is a certain skill level to it. And it's imitating the much higher skill level. I definitely see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or different and more effort intensive, more physically costly skill. You know, and it's the same thing with creating art. It's mentally, spiritually, emotionally, occasionally physically taxing. You know, it requires you to pour a certain amount of yourself into it. When you create anything, you know, when we create this podcast, when we write like, you know, I don't know, a script, or when we paint a picture or come up with a Dungeons and Dragons campaign, like it requires a certain amount of yourself to be imprinted upon it. And that sort of like invisible fingerprint is what makes it different from like something that was just generated mathematically. Like when we would play D&D in high school, you could tell when it was a Brandon campaign. You know what I mean? Like there was some sort of quality to it that made it different. And you could just tell, you know, because there was some piece of Brandon's personality, some piece of his identity that was present, impressed upon this, like, you know, this story that was being told.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, in the same way that if you were running a game or if Ethan was running a game, you know, it was, you could tell, like you said, that imprint on there. I would love to pay an artist, especially for our Pokemon episodes, because for the placards for that, I would love to pay an artist to draw a little thing. The problem is, for me, finding somebody who is willing to work for what we can pay.
Right, yeah.
Plus,
which is nothing.
I feel like if I found somebody who could do some work, you know, I'd be willing to pay them a certain amount, but it would certainly not be up to what an artist should be getting paid.
For sure.
And sure, yeah. At the same
time, also up to the quality of being like a thumbnail on YouTube.
Right.
You know, that's the problem for me, is finding that balance. Whereas I think the thumbnails we have now are good.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah, you do a good job, David.
I'm getting better.
I'm going to skip this question and go to what trends in media? Let's go to media for a moment. What trends in media would you like to see continue as far as like movies and TV shows? And what trends would you like to see shuffle off this mortal coil?
Ooh, I have another one.
Okay.
Well, let me just start off with that first one. So something I actually just recently finished the first season of Fallout, which was on which was just released, I think, last week. And it was awesome. It was way better than it had any right to be. Extremely accessible, yet also maintained like the absolute feel and vibe of Fallout. It's perfect. And including its extremely critical of capitalism message that is present in all of Fallout.
Oh, nice.
And one of the things that I've been seeing a lot in media, and I'll give some examples, is there's this trend towards being more critical of things like class structure, capitalism, imperialism, and I've noticed them. Like there's a strong anti-imperialist message in Thor Ragnarok. There's the movie Free Guy is like straight up, let's live in a classless society with no money and no law enforcement. Andor was the most leftist piece of media I've ever seen in my entire life. And then Fallout was also like it's those themes are extremely present in that as well. And this trend of using using like mainstream art as a means of conveying extremely important ideas is awesome. And I think always there, but I like seeing it used for good and pressing valuable and important and timely ideas. It's kind of the same thing with the same mechanic is present in a show like The Boys, which utilizes superheroes for their intended purpose of telling larger than life morality stories. It just so happens The Boys is about, you know, celebrity and celebrity culture and, you know, American political structure, but using superheroes. So, but it's that same mechanic where you use these artistic broad strokes to tell stories that get certain points across that you might not otherwise be confronted with in your day-to-day life.
What about you, David, as far as it goes, what trends in media would you like to see continue?
I don't know. I don't know that there are any trends that I am currently very into that I would want to see continue or expand beyond kind of what Ryan has already said, I do think that storytellers are a little more risk-taking in telling stories just outside of the norm. Like, here's an action hero beat 'em up movie. There's more to the story a lot of times than there used to be. Mostly you'd have to find like a weird off the wall movie to walk away from it feeling like, oh dang, that might have changed my worldview a little, or at least enforced my worldview a little. And now I do
see punk for me,
right? Stuff like that. Exactly. And I think that we're getting a lot more of that in other types of media now, in particular, television. I'm super excited to see Fallout. And I think that the trend that I would like to see is closer representations of things that I enjoy. So be it a comic book, like I'm still fine with comic book movies and comic book television shows. I'm not burnt out on that. What I'm burnt out on is feeling disappointed at the end of it. It's like you had such, you had such good source material and then you didn't use any of it, or you used very little of it, or you changed most of it. And it's like, why? And hopefully shows like Fallout will show, it's like, hey, look, you can do, Ryan, you keep saying that a lot of it is a one-to-one. You can do a one-to-one representation. Tell a different story in that universe if you want to, which is the case with Fallout. But at least, like, do it the same, because why not? And to that point, you know what I'd love to see, and I think they might have kicked around the idea of doing, is a BioShock series. In the style,
and that seems ripe for the picking. Yeah,
I'd love to see that similar style to what they did with Fallout. So more stuff like that would be awesome. That, and I want more Korean reality shows. But that's all.
Are you still more Korean reality shows?
Man, I haven't watched a Korean reality show that has let me down.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know, but they just know how to do it right. It's like it goes up to the line of like making you feel like this is super goofy, it's super silly, but they've put so much money into this production, and like a lot of times you actually feel like their people are in danger, even though you know they're definitely not. It's just like the production quality behind it, like. And they're Koreans are just generally nicer people, so it doesn't have that like shitty like Survivor, like you don't feel greasy after watching an episode of it, so you feel like kind of uplifted, and it's just incredibly high like quality like production with really neat games and puzzles. It's like I think I even said something like when my 13-year-old me would be like, man, I want to go live that. It just feels like giant like escape rooms and stuff, and so yeah.
Was there a thing of media that you wanted to see disappear, Ryan? Did you have something on that?
I mean, there's certain like tropes that I think are past their prime a little bit. As far as like certain media trends, I don't know, like I'm over fucking propaganda and military like I have way more of a problem with my kids playing like any fucking Call of Duty or anything like that than I do Mortal Kombat, because Mortal Kombat's silly and ridiculous. Call of Duty is actively used by the United States military to recruit people, and like deliberately. And I'm over that, and I'm really kind of glad that it's become much more frequently called out. Like, oh, this is just propaganda. This is just, they're just doing this to, make it look like the police don't do things other than shoot black people. And I'm over that. I'm over that trend of like, you know, Because it's just nationalism. It's just nationalism wrapped up in a fucking like John McClane wife beater. You know what I mean? Like that's all it is. And it's extremely, it's jingoistic. It's boring. Like it was charming. You know, when you the first time you watch Die Hard and you're like, cool, that's cool. That's empirically a good movie. Or when you watched RoboCop, because RoboCop is actually a pretty nuanced critique of
people in the dick
of corporate America, and a guy gets shot in the dick. But yeah, I'm definitely over that, and I'm glad it's sort of like going away too.
Yeah,
not the dick shooting.
Yeah, get more of that.
That's still fine. I saw someone get shot in the dick the other day in a show I was watching. What was it?
Maybe the funniest off the cuff comment I've ever heard make, Ryan.
That's it. No, my stepson was watching this like Mortal Kombat series on TV, and a guy gets shot in the dick. I was like, huh, like RoboCop. I actually made that thought in my head.
They replace it with a claw machine.
Well, everything you said, Ryan, I have good news for you now. Because we are about to go to the future. All three of us.
Hell yeah.
On the internet, get ready. And
the future, Conan?
We're there.
Well, Ryan was so much more relaxed about going to the future than either of us were.
Ryan he's all business when it comes to time travel.
When it comes to time travel, yeah.
Mm. Ryan can be a goofy boy, but when it comes to time travel, you know.
It's all serious.
Put on the big boy pants.
Welcome to the 90s.
Oh.
Nostalgia it's nice. Is back, but with a modern twist for today's audience. So I'm going to tell you a modern 3090s name of a nostalgic show. What is the name of the show that these modern 3090 reboots are referencing?
Do you guys awesome. Yeah, I definitely
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I get you.
I think you'll get it with the first one. So I don't have enough to actually make this a challenge, so you guys are going to work together.
I'm going
to ask one of you to answer, and then if they don't get it, the other one can jump in, or you guys can help each other.
But we want the other person to succeed. I like this.
Yeah. All right. So, David, I'm going to ask you this one because I feel like Ryan might get this easier than you can.
Okay.
So our first show in the 3090s coming on in this special hour is The Hijinks of Clock and Kreblock.
The Hijinks of Clock and Kreblock?
Kreblock and Kreblock.
The Hijinks of Kreblock and Kreblock?
Yes.
Is this a wrestling thing?
No. This is a 90s TV show.
Okay, so this is like a sitcom or a drama from the 90s.
Yes. Most of these are sitcoms or dramas, actually, yes.
Kreblock and Kreblock.
I can give you a little bit of a hint if Ryan doesn't have a clue at the moment.
Is it?
I don't think so.
Star Trek: The Next Generation. I don't know.
Okay, so I took the titles of the shows, and these are plays on the titles of the shows.
I can say that as well. Okay. See, I thought it was maybe referencing a character or something. Okay.
No, the Hijinks of Kreblock and Kreblock.
Oh, I got it.
The Adventures of.
It's the Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Yep.
You got it. Okay. So now you get a general idea of how this game is played, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Ryan, here's what I got for you.
Okay.
It is disallowed to utter those words on HoloTube.
You can't say that on television.
Yep. Yeah. That's a good one.
I wasn't sure if some of these are going to be too hard or too easy. I only have six of them, so we should.
Weird Canadian show for our Gen Z and Gen Alpha listeners. A really weird, kind of bleak Canadian sketch comedy show.
It was very bleak. Remember
it was.
The guy, the chef or the cook or whatever, the school cook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
He would just puke in their soup sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They really pushed the slime on that show, too.
Yeah. And that show technically was an 80s show before it came to the 90s for us.
Ah.
So there's a little bit of a cheat. David.
I'm going to suck at this.
The housing unit is at maximum capacity.
Full house.
That's awesome.
All right. This is where they get a little bit harder and a little bit weirder. So
I'm here for it.
Nice.
Grab in. Ryan.
Yes.
Pentapal Gathering.
Oh, I know what it is. I know what it is. I know what it is.
Hold on.
You got this, Ryan.
Well, what is it again? Tell me again.
Pentapal Gathering. This one is kind of a drama-ish teen drama.
Oh, I'm so excited. I want to see.
Oh, is it Party of Five?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Hell yeah.
Good job, Ryan. Nice.
All right. These last two are really stupid.
Awesome. Good.
David, the rawest royal of Venus.
Oh, my God.
You know it?
I got this one. The rawest royal
of Venus.
This is the future, baby. It's 3090. Get ready.
The rawest.
We just watched Tentacpal Gathering, and now we're going to see the rawest royal.
Yeah, the rawest royal, man.
The raw. What was all of it? The rawest royal of what? Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, this. I love it.
All right, and our final one.
That was good, Brandon.
Thank you. This is wrapping up the night. It's almost bedtime. The American flag playing the Star Spangled Banner is going to come on the TV soon.
Mm.
So we're going to tune into our last half hour episode of A Juvenile Male is Introduced to Maraxxus, Living Planet.
Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
I was going to say this one's a stretch, but you guys nailed it. Damn.
Maraxxus, the Living Planet.
I was like, what did I use for Maraxxus? It also is futuristic. So.
Oh, fuck. Can we make Maraxxus, the Living Planet, a recurring character?
Yes. I would like that. Absolutely. Yeah. That's our newest character. We haven't created a new one for a while, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, what does Maraxxus, the Living Planet,
Maraxxus
sound like?
Maraxxus, the Living Planet.
There it is.
He sounds like this.
Hey! You guys...
I'm walking here. I'm orbiting here.
You guys have a drink...
I'm a planet.
You have a drink, Stoppy?
Salvatore. But that is all I have. Did you want to? Did you have something you wanted to drop on us, David? A little game, little thing.
I do have a little something because I'm feeling a wee bit peckish. I think it's time for Gray Matter Munchies, the end of show segment where we discuss what media or forms of entertainment have nourished our well-being. Everybody's mental health needs an indulgence sometimes, so let's discuss what tasty treats we've ingested lately. I think we already know what Ryan's ingested lately. Fallout, which I'm jealous because I really,
yes,
really want to watch that.
I did, but I would actually, I'll talk about something different.
Okay.
Because Fallout was amazing. You should absolutely watch it. But I really feel like I got across whatever I needed to say about Fallout when we talked about it earlier. But I will say that we watched WrestleMania like last week when it was on, and it was awesome. It was incredible. For those of you who don't know, wrestling is super cool again, and they are telling some of the most satisfying long form stories that exist on TV right now. And I know that that's silly to say, but I honest to God wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. That like the story that
I've heard.
Yeah. The story that culminated, huh?
Unexpected, I would say.
Oh, the story that culminated at WrestleMania this past year had been one that had like a continuous ongoing story that had been going for two solid years. So like the payoff at the end was as such that it was this tremendous catharsis, like everyone was crying. Like even the ring announcer who was announcing the results of the match was like crying as she was announcing it, like, because it was so satisfying. And also too, for me personally, like it's great to be able to enjoy this with my kids, but it's even better that I can watch it and enjoy it and know that nowadays, like the wrestlers are treated ethically. They're compensated effectively. They have, you know, they're safe, and that just makes me happy too, because I prefer to enjoy things that I know are ethically created and sourced. And so just makes me happy.
That's buck wild, man.
But anyway, yeah.
I like that. Brandon, what have you been enjoying lately?
I'm going to get a Amazon Prime membership so I can freaking watch Fallout. I don't want to
yeah.
watch Fallout.
Hey,
so I'm going to do that.
Just can't you get like a free trial or something?
That's what I'm going to do, yeah.
Yeah.
And trust me, man, you'll burn through Fallout in like a weekend. It's so yeah. good. It's only 8 episodes, too.
I've still been playing No Man's Sky. I think I was playing nice. That last time we recorded, too. I've been getting into farming, so I've been milking animals and making butter. Because you know? There's a whole fucking farming thing. There's an interesting space exploration, but I've been farming.
Nice. I've been playing a lot of Slay the Spire. It pretty much really? It pretty much consumes my lunch hour at work right now. I've gotten to like what I think is like the true like final boss a couple times, and this last time that I got there, like I had the perfect build, and I really thought I was going to beat it, and I had the final boss down to 100 health from like 750, and the thing is, I'm playing it on my phone, and it's really easy to accidentally play the wrong card, and I played a card that made it so that I lost. Like, it literally actually fucked me instead of helped me. Like, it was, and I'm like looking at the screen, and I'm like, I could have beat it this turn. I saw the writing on the wall, because like you get a beautiful mind once you start playing it long enough. You're like, okay, I know what I'm gonna do. This is it. And I'm like, oh my god, I would have won if I would have played the card I meant to play. I would have won. And for those of you who haven't played the Slay the Spire, it's a roguelike game that is very difficult. And when you're got those synergies going, it's beautiful and it's awesome. It feels great, but it can be very, very frustrating in between those. And so to finally feel like this was it, and then see that it was it, and I lost because of my phone essentially, was very frustrating. But I'm still on the track to beat the final boss. I don't think I've been back to the final boss since I had that mistake. But anyway, but my movie,
you know, another game you should check out is Darkest Dungeon.
Darkest Dungeon? I'm not even sure I've heard of it.
To Slay the Spire, it's another roguelike. It's good. Just check it out.
Yeah,
you'd like it if you enjoy Slay the Spire.
I absolutely will. Thank you for the recommendation. And then the movie that I wanted to talk about that Kira and I watched together. Mm-hmm. Is Poor Things.
Oh, I wanted to see that.
Yeah, you should.
Is that all you've got? Is that your review?
Is there more than that?
You should watch it.
Is it not great or something?
I mean, okay. It's entertaining. It's interesting. So it's done by the dude that did The Lighthouse, I believe. I'm actually not positive. I should have done a little bit of research. I'm like 90% sure it is, just because it's like that kind of weird. But and the movie starts out in black and white, like for the first like 30 minutes. And then it gets very colorful towards the end. But I'll give you, like, without spoiling anything, it's basically a story of a reanimated woman who is kind of like learning about life for the first time. You know, as a reanimated woman, and kind of going through development, very childlike at first, and then gets super horny for the rest of the movie, like super horny for the rest of the movie.
How horny are we talking? Scale of 1 to 10.
It's 12 at least, maybe 13.
Off the scale.
Yeah. It's a pretty horny movie. But like, while that is kind of what it's about, obviously that's not what it's about. It's kind of like about experiencing life and development, and then trying to figure out what life's about. And beyond just compulsions, right? Like, seriously, it is like about just, you know, be horny, cool, but, you know, also use your brain as much as you use your body.
Yeah.
But it's very awkward and very weird. But I recommend it. It's good. Emma Stone is interesting performance. Like, she won an Oscar for it, and you can see why. Like it's kind of a very weird range of acting. So yeah, I recommend it. Really weird. If you want a weird watch, Emma Stone as this weird Frankenstein lady is pretty good.
What'd you say the title was again?
Poor Things.
Poor Things.
Yeah, P-O-O-R. Poor Things.
Poor Things. All right, Ryan, what do you got for us? As usual, right, we're at the end.
Yeah. Anything else we have? Nope. Here? Resident Rapper Upper. Get to rapping.
Resident Rapper Upper. Ryan, explain the future and wrap it up for us.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. The future is going to be there whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other things. I don't know. I mean, we didn't really like come to any conclusions or anything like that. We basically just sort of talked about, you know, our thoughts and ideas and whatnot and opinions.
And what's more important to the future than sharing ideas and opinions?
That's true. Your friend. That's true.
Wow. Beautiful.
I mean, the future is, canvas, I guess. Like, do whatever you've got to do to make it worth living.
There you go.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what else to say about that.
No, you nailed
Watch Fallout. Watch wrestling, and then come talk to me about it, because I would love to have some wrestling. Yeah,
seriously,
friends.
Watch wrestling, because Ryan needs more people to talk to wrestling about.
Yeah,
I know. It.
We it's don't.
True. I have my kids and then my friend Berto, and that's the extent of my wrestling friends.
But you know what? You could follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or email us at we're probably not okay. That's just okay.
These are all true.
@gmail.com, and tell Ryan all your thoughts on wrestling. And be Ryan's wrestling friend. Yeah, we will.
Yeah.
Or comment on our YouTube.
Also true.
Yeah. And while you're there, check out Little Boy Smorf.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. On our channel too. And he's a lovely little boy.
And if you want to help us pay to get an artist in the future so we don't have to rely on the evils of AI, head on over to patreon.com/ we're probably not okay. And give us your money monthly. We'll gladly pay an actual human being to make art.
Yeah.
So until next time, I've been your host for this episode, Brandon.full.png.
And I have been unit designation Ryan Brown, your very best friend.
And I am Davor Musgrovia, the overlord of the Galaxis 3 Prime Geta Zed.
Oh, shit.
And
I like it when they say Zed instead of Z.
And I've been kissed. Sometimes.
By the Borg nanite probes.
Yeah, by the Borg nanite probes. Did you say Bork or Borg?
Borg.
I said Bork. I got excited and I said Bork.
I don't know. Yours is good too.
Little dog just barking out their nose.
Bork, Bork, Bork.
And we're probably not okay. Cue the robo music.
Doop, 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 beep, boop.
Zip, zap.
Zippity, zappity, bippity, bappity.